The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Taking your relationship to the next level, this is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Tonight on the program, we focus on alternative sexuality. So it's the night we discuss fetishes, BDSM, and all other non-conventional ways people enjoy sex. Basically, the kink hour, we can call it that. Helping us out tonight are Pierre and Catherine. They run BDSM Circle, a site that is chock full of information on alternative sexuality. So if you have any questions for us, please feel free to text or call in. You can text at 514-800 or 71010, 1-800-491-2523 if you'd like to call in and speak to us. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So this is, I guess, our, Valentine's Day, so our February edition. We can talk about people who want to kink it up on Valentine's Day, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's a great occasion to do it.
Okay.
I mean,
if you're not already into it, you mean? Like,
well,
it would be.
Well, you know, people, they might get a little more adventurous. You know, there's anything from chocolate sauce to, you know, all sorts of things.
But those are the tamer,
those are the
kinky
tamer
things, right? You don't have to go extreme.
And there's nothing wrong with just doing a little bit of, you know, whipped cream and champagne and something a little different and spicing it up. And it's also a good time to buy lingerie. Because it's a lot cheaper this time of year.
But don't make the mistake that every man makes. Let the women choose the lingerie or their style.
Yeah, I know. A lot of guys will say, I'll buy, you know, it's not, this here, honey, this is for you. No, it's not. It's what you like. It's not what I like, you know.
And speaking of that, if you're kinky and your partner is not, or even if they are, and you're giving them a kinky toy, make sure it's something they want and not something you want to be used on you or to use.
Right.
It's because we see this an awful lot where there's people that are really not impressed and someone's just thought, oh, they'll just love a flogger. My sub was like, well.
Or a dildo as a gift.
Exactly.
Unless you know that is what your partner wants, thinking, hey, I want to wake up her sexuality. Let me get her a dildo or let me get her whatever.
Don't do that.
It's not going to go over too well.
No, and you can imagine, you know, you're having this beautiful supper, you know, candle and everything. And then you go to bed to have a good time and then things turns ugly. So because you didn't prepare well, you know.
Right,
so.
You didn't
well,
check.
Hopefully, you've got the gift before you're actually in bed.
Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to pull out whatever it is and surprise your partner with something they may not.
Of course, it might be better than the restaurant.
Maybe.
You know, you might not want to pull it out at the restaurant. But
no,
yeah.
That's for sure. We've got a texter who writes, a texter, can you receive any sexual infection through GS? What's GS?
Golden shower.
Okay.
So we know urine is basically, how do you say this?
Sterile.
Sterile,
actually,
thank you.
I just read somewhere that it actually is not sterile, that it does have bacteria. But anyhow, you don't want to drink it or get it in your eye necessarily.
We know people who drink it and it's...
You know people who drink it?
Is that a kink thing? It's a kink.
Yeah, it's a kink.
Okay. Does that kink have a name? Because that's more than a golden shower.
It's part of the golden. It's called a part of the golden shower thing, if you want. And again, you don't do this without negotiating it first.
Yeah, that's not something you just want to spring on somebody.
No.
Let me shower you with love. You know,
but the thing
yellow
is,
kind. But, no.
But you have to be logical about it. If you have an infection or she has an infection, you don't do it. Because then you can have problems.
Well, I think it's fairly safe if you're going to actually, like, pee on somebody.
But not drink it.
No, I'm not talking about drinking.
Or getting it into the membranes or what have you. The article I just read by a colleague of mine, Dr. Zanna, it was clear. It was like they did the testing on batches of urine. It does have some bacteria. Maybe not as much as any feces, which is completely full of bacteria.
We're at the other end.
Yeah,
right? No.
Feces is another. But I mean, even like sweat would have. yep. bacteria. Right. I mean, any body fluid's going to have some.
Right.
But it's certainly in a totally different category than feces or scat play.
Right. But you can't,
which
you're
is
not gonna,
very dangerous, right. pretty much though, deep
right.
positive.
But you're not going to get, for example, HIV transmission
through, I don't think so.
It's through urine. It's not one of the, but through other bodily fluids, yes. As far as I know, I'll have to check that just to
actually,
be sure.
Actually, we're going to trust you on this because you're the doctor.
Well, yeah, I don't necessarily have all the answers at the top of my head. I got to check my books sometimes, you know.
Well, they come out with new answers too.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, so.
That's true. That can also change. So as far as I know, you can't get a sexually transmitted infection from golden showers.
No, but the thing is, if somebody has any type of infection, just
it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. It can be a urinary tract infection, or it can be some other kind of infection. It's still a bodily fluid. So to me, any bodily fluid, you should be careful with.
We can go in detail if you have oral sex. I mean, you could say it's as dangerous too.
Yes,
you know?
But I think if someone like pees on you, it is still one of the least
dangerous
right. plays.
Right.
And if that's your thing, I wouldn't really worry about it because
it's on your skin anyway.
Yep. Yeah, it'd be different. I think you're going into a different level if you're talking about drinking it
or
things like that, right?
I haven't heard that one too much, to tell you the
truth. Well, actually,
it's common?
Well, it's not that uncommon.
Really?
And domination and submission, it's a sign of submission. If somebody, let's say I'm going to be very graphic here.
Yeah.
Urinate and the mouth of the submissive being men, women, women, men.
That sounds very humiliating.
Well, there it is.
It's
humiliation play.
It could
humiliation,
be. It could be. But I mean, it's just some people's fetish too.
Mental, if you want, mental pain, you call it like this. So some people enjoy it.
You learn something new every day.
Every
day. 514-800 or 71010 if you have a question, you want to text in for our BDSM panelists. BDSMcircle.com is their website. Pierre and Catherine are here. This person wants to know, where's the best place to buy BDSM toys such as cuffs and so on? Is online good? Like, I suppose you have to be careful where you buy your stuff.
Okay. Everything we try to buy online, most of the time, we're disappointed.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? You're going to tell by the cost when you buy it online.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be the super expensive. I'd be more likely to go to like Etsy.
Okay, where people make their stuff.
Where people, you've got artisans that make it.
Artisan
and
makes
And I would write
best.
The artisan and say, you know, is this jewelry or is this actually for bondage play? Because some of them are going to be afraid for legal things to tie. So I've always sold as a novelty, but you can tell by it's made, how it's made when you look at them. If you look at a few, but
so you should be ideally when you're buying something is to look at it, feel it, touch it, so you know
it's
what you're
the
getting.
Best, you know?
Well, yes, and also you can tell. Like if you go on eBay, there are some sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Read the feedback.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Places where you can read feedback.
Yeah, read
That's
the feedback and you'll see people that say, you know, this was like a party novelty thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
one of the best
or
place
if it's
to,
a proper one.
One of the best place to buy them is often where there's a kinky like salon somewhere, they're going to have salespeople who sell their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just be careful because some of them sometimes ask.
Astronomical prices
thank you.
At times.
That's a lot more polite what I wanted to say. But
this, what about just a regular sex shop? Sex shop?
Absolutely.
If you can touch it and check it, it's the best.
Stay away from the ones that are in the boxes that have the, you know, there is like the, it'll be like the BDSM bondage kit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have a mask and a whip and a flogger and stuff. Stay away from those. Those are going to be the little crappy ones.
So most that's more novelty
exactly.
kind of stuff.
Okay. Where you're buying like a single flogger or a single blindfold or stuff like that.
There's a full line of 50 Shade of, and there's
no 50 Shades of Grey. Oh, really?
And beautiful boxes, beautiful
packaging, right.
and all of that, and run.
Okay, so not the best quality. So you want to establish the quality of it. And
yeah, we receive a lot of catalog from out east, you know, some of the country there. And they sell some of these things by bulk if you wanted to buy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're very easy. They just want us to buy like a container full of these stuff.
Right.
And when we look at it and we do some research, Oh man, it's cheap.
Okay. I mean, so it's made cheaply. Beware of what you're buying, and better to feel it out, touch it, see the quality of it. Tonight it is our alternative sexuality segment with Pierre and Catherine of BDSM Circle. So if you have questions for them, you can text us at 514-800 or 71010. You're listening to Passion with me, Dr. Lori Batito.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality, where we focus on the kinkier side of sex with our experts in studio. They run a website called BDSMCircle.com, which has so much information on there about everything you want to know about kink, really. And you can check them out, BDSMCircle.com. Pierre and Catherine are here. So, let's see.
You always call us expert, and it's like we're just...
You are experts in the field. Okay. Catherine's giving you the look like,
she's
expert.
She's giving me the eyes, and everybody who's married know what the eye
don't
is.
Don't be so humble. You are what
Thank
you are.
You.
Okay,
Thank
so
you.
I want to go back. There's a texter who wrote about the... answering the question, can you receive sexual infection through golden showers? This texter writes, chlamydia and gonorrhea are tested in urine. That's quite true. Men is 90%, women a little less. Therefore, STIs can be transmitted through urine, except the bodily fluid has to enter the body for
to
happen.
Right, so it's just on skin.
Exactly.
It's, cut.
It's not, it doesn't, it's not skin to skin, it's not the skin. You can get skin to skin things.
Just take a shower
but you won't, unless it's ingested or it gets into your own membranes,
or
bloodstream, then that's where the danger lies.
Hey,
so
we're learning things.
Clearly, I don't think it's a very good idea to ingest any bodily fluid of another person, to tell you the truth. But that's just my thought. Let's see. This person wants to know, from Montreal, do you hold munches for people who are new into BDSM? So munches is something that Pierre and Catherine do, which are lunches, really, or brunches, where they talk, where people gather together and they talk. Whatever, they gather in a non-kinky way in some restaurant.
Yeah.
And, for people who are entering or people who are not new to the...
Exactly. And right now we're on a slight hiatus and we're going to start again in the spring.
Lack of time.
Yeah. Then you're going to have to go and do some in Toronto at the same time.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah. So what about people... This person wants to know if you can recommend any female DOMs. Now... I know you're not in the business of referring necessarily, but if somebody wants to find a dominatrix, what do they do wherever they live?
They go online.
Okay.
And then they check reviews, and then they keep their brains about them and don't just think with their other brain, their lower one.
What do they look for?
And they look for someone who's going to give you a safe word. Someone who's established, she should have a dungeon.
Yeah.
She should have that. And it's going to cost you lots of money. Mm-hmm. And you should expect to pay several hundred dollars an hour. Because if it is a dom that has experience, they put up money for a dungeon, for clothes, for equipment. She has thousands of dollars and she's a professional. So if they don't have a dungeon, if they use some, if that there's signs. So you need to look for... Mm-hmm. For some things like that
show professionalism.
Yes, so someone who's established, someone who looks the part, and it's not all of it, but if you want to be safe, it's probably not a 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm. So somebody with experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, what if you don't want to pay for it?
Well, then you go online to the dating sites, and this is awful. You're going to pay for it one way or another. It may not be with cash. Mm-hmm. It may be with time or effort, but or attention to a relationship. But, if you don't want a relationship.
But what? So there are dating sites for people looking for dominatrix
Absolutely.
Or submissives.
Well, all sorts.
Specialized sites. And remember, there's more men looking for a female dom than there are
women
looking for
a male.
So it's like, be patient. If you don't want to pay for it, we understand that. Be patient. And
what kind of sites do you know, any offhand, well, that there are dating
like,
sites?
Okay, like our site has one.
Oh, you there's have a dating section
sure,
on
there's
there?
FetLife, there's Alt.com, there's Caller Space, there's all sorts of different sites.
Okay.
If you start, you know, you don't necessarily need to pay, mm-hmm. right? Just, you know, use your brains, because it could be anybody that's saying they're such and such.
Little trick here. If you just put looking for a dominatrix and that's it, you will not find anyone. Okay. Be a bit imaginative, be a bit funny, you know.
Just like any online dating site.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But mm-hmm. some people, we receive some ads to put on our site, and I'm looking at this and going, this guy has no chance, mm-hmm. because there's two lines.
Yeah,
and you know.
You know what? Don't just make it a shopping list saying, I want to find a dom who will do this, 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 and this to me twice on Sundays. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, that's not a very attractive ad.
Right.
Because as a female dominant, there's lots to want you to do lots of things to them.
Right. And there's lots to choose from.
Exactly.
Like if you want, you're going to choose that. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. this is a long text, so I'm... All right. Okay, I'll wait for that because I want to read it first. Some texts I want to read ahead of time before we air them. So,
we wonder why.
Well, you know, we filter a little bit. Not much, mind you, but we still want to do that. 514-800 or 71010 to text in your questions, your thoughts about kink, kinky sex, alternative sexuality, anything that's alternative, anything that's thinking outside the box,
the vanilla.
Excuse the pun.
But there's a lot nowadays, it's quite interesting. I'm slowly doing research about more what we call vanilla sex,
mm-hmm.
and right now the swinger seems to be quite in fashion.
It's popular, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
mm-hmm. The swinger, the lifestyler community.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in open relationships, more than mm-hmm. you would think, actually.
Yeah.
Having just been at the Everything to Do with Sex show and seeing that there were a number of booths where they were promoting sex parties, swinging destinations, like travel destinations,
yep.
swinging dating sites,
clubs,
all of that.
Hotels.
Hotels.
Very close to where we live.
Yeah, there's hotels. So it is something that seems to be, I don't know if it's a younger thing. Is it?
Well,
is this the millennial generation growing up?
I think people are
more open,
a little away from the religious restraint.
Right.
People are, you know, on
most
general,
people would say it's
people less likely to go to their church or their mosque or whatever
mm-hmm.
than they did 40 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
young adults are a lot more in a way open-minded about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Despite some of the problem, you know.
Well, they grow up seeing so much kink and sex on TV, and kink is talked about, which is a wonderful thing. We're still like 30 years behind acceptance of the gay community.
But I still wish they would be like sexual education in the school, because they learn everything, but sometimes they don't seem to learn the basic.
Well, that's true. We can get on a whole other discussion, which we won't. We save that for once a month when we do talk about sex education of youth, which is very different. But let me ask some questions here that we're getting by text. My wife wants to have threesomes with tools of the trade, etc. She wants an open relationship. I'm not into this, but considering your thoughts. So often you'll get one partner who will suggest or will bring up the idea of opening up their relationship to others. And you tread carefully in a situation like this, because it can backfire big time.
Terrible.
And I have seen this happen, unfortunately.
Of course.
I remember a couple where he kept pushing to have an open relationship, and you know, like a polyamorous relationship and what have you, and pushing for a few years, actually. And finally, the wife said, you know, okay, fine. And then so they opened it up. She got a boyfriend first, like an extra relationship or a lover. And the husband just went ballistic.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't, he just could not, he realized how he couldn't cope. I guess he was just thinking of himself and his own pleasure and wasn't thinking of the, what would it do to him to have his wife also have that? And then it kind of, the relationship kind of went.
Well, especially, you know what? It's often not the sex or the kink. It's the other relationship that's being formed that is the threat.
The emotional part of it.
Exactly.
Yes, right.
And when it's a case like that, you know what? It's talk, negotiate, and everything. I'll tell you, it won't work if there's anything behind the back of the other. It just has to be so upfront, so open, so talked about. And you have to talk about it after.
But even before, in preparation.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to talk about the potential problems that can happen. What happens if you develop feelings? What happens if I get jealous? What happens?
They never get to that part. It's always about the sex. It's always about the kink, if there's any.
Right.
And at some point when things happen, everybody's surprised. Oh, we didn't think about that, because this is the stories
we
hear.
And you do have to think about this ahead of time. So if you want a good advice, talk about it at great lengths before you ever engage in anything like that, before you ever start opening up your relationship. You have to have really good communication.
Yes.
Even when you do that, you still need to talk about it after too. Because we find with negotiation, even like in BDSM and kink, a lot of people say, well, you know, we talked about it and we already negotiated this. And it's like, yes, but then you find out that reality's not what you thought.
Right.
And you do get feelings, you do get upset, or you did like it a lot more than you thought you would.
Yeah, but your partner might not have. And then
exactly.
What?
Exactly. You know, or you both discovered something new, but you need to talk about
it. And you have to also negotiate rules. You know, what are the boundaries that you both decide on for opening it up? You don't just say, okay, let's just have an open relationship. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like to you, to me? Do we have the same idea about this? So we can certainly continue to talk about that and how to negotiate that. We'll answer some of your texts as well. 514-800-71010 to text in. You're listening to Passion with me, Dr. Lori.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, Alternative Sexuality, I'm joined by my regular panelists, Pierre and Catherine of BDSMCircle.com, but we talk about all things kink. So let's see, a couple of texts from you, 514-800 or 71010. This one from Toronto, I'm really into cross-dressing, and I've told my current girlfriend, and she is cool with it and wants to try anal. I'm curious about doing it. Is this a common thing? Or is this weird?
I will let you answer.
Catherine, you
want
to answer?
Well, it is extremely common.
Okay.
If your girlfriend's into it, fantastic.
Go slow.
Go slow.
Start small.
Use lube. Mm-hmm. Start small.
A lot of it.
Yes, start small.
Try little tiny butt plugs, little tiny ones, like little tiny ones with a nice flange on the end so nothing gets lost.
Right. Yes.
Up there.
Important.
Okay. Use proper things. Don't be going out and don't be using household items and crap like that. Go out and buy a proper butt plug to start with.
Right.
And then
go from there.
Or a good dildo. But a butt plug actually has like the flange on the end, so it doesn't go in and the end get lost, because you do have to be careful if you've never done that before.
Well, the rectum can suck up stuff.
Well, yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
Unfortunately,
right?
And then
that's
you have to go. Then you end up in the emergency room trying to get it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what? Lube is wonderful, and I personally am quite against what they will call the anal lube, which is the stuff that will freeze you. Almost.
Oh, so you don't feel if there's something hurting you.
Yeah. Right. I don't like that. Don't stay away from that stuff. Use proper lube. Like the I can't think of the name of the stuff.
And remember
the sphincter is
a muscle. So you cannot stretch your muscle without a practice. So you start slow. You do exercise.
What you wouldn't do is put on, you know, 8-inch strap-on dildo and go for it. Like, that's what you don't do.
I was trying to find a way
to say it. Start with the nice little butt plugs.
Exactly. So let me continue here with our text messages. I'm a 50-year-old male who's a nurturing dom. I seem to attract females 18 to 25 years old. Not complaining, but wondering why not older women.
Because you're probably doing the daddy dom thing without you realizing
which
it.
Which is the nurturing part.
It is, but it's, you know what?
That's a thing, daddy dom? Is that what it's called?
Oh, sure. Okay. Sure. There's different ones. But you know what? Basically, you need to change your ad. You know what? You need to change your ad.
Because he's saying the nurturing dom.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? You need to change your ad because obviously you're not coming across. There are plenty of female submissives of your age, if you know, that would like a nurturing, loving dom, right? And so it could be part of it in your ad when you say nurturing. They're thinking more of like a father figuring as opposed to, you know, a loving, you know.
Right. You have to be a little more manly sometime in your ad. I don't know if I...
Okay.
I don't know if I'm explaining this well.
Well, I think the bottom line is I think that if the person is advertising themselves as a nurturing dom, they're going to attract women who are looking for a father figure, somebody who will take care of them, somebody that they, you know.
Exactly. Yes? Okay. And it's also in your ad because, you know, when I get lots and lots of 20-year-olds who will write me, and you know what? Frankly, that's younger than I'm interested in.
Right.
You know, so I put in my ad that I want of a certain age.
Also do that. Sure, but again, this guy's not complaining either. He's just wondering why. But it's obviously people who may have, I hesitate to say daddy issues, but who is looking for.
Or likes older men.
And his approach to when he talks to these maybe older women should be accordingly, you know. Be more testosterone type of guy, you know, like almost macho. Sometimes it would help.
To attract a different crowd,
is what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. So, interesting, this texter writes, I hesitate to say this too, but any woman who straps on a dildo is crazy. I say it only because to reflect what a lot of society probably thinks. But, you know, if we go back to what two people do who consent to it, who whatever floats their boat, as long as it's legal and consensual and safe, that's a judgment call, right? What would make them mentally ill, if I'm going to use crazy as, you know, serious? Like, even mentally ill isn't crazy to me. Crazy is crazy. There's a difference to me than, you know. Yeah.
Well, we could comment, you know, very long about this, but you have another text?
Well, there certainly are people who think differently.
Right.
Well, yeah.
So I believe this texter from Toronto wrote back, he wrote about the wife or the girlfriend who wanted to try different things, said she is dealing with PTSD and past abusive relationships and parents. I see this has a mental escape for her, not really to discover her sexuality, not me. Mm. So what I'm getting here is that she may have other issues prompting her to
want to be dominant
or to expand or to not commit to one person or a form of fantasy escape or something. Because I'm not seeing the connection here, but I'm...
Let's put that more general. BDSM is not a therapy for anything.
Right. It doesn't cure anything.
No, if you use BDSM as a therapy for something, you're in for a lot of trouble. Because there's this little thing called triggers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, triggers. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens in a situation like this where somebody may have come from, let's say, an abusive home and then...
Go slow.
Okay.
That's
check
your
triggers.
Number one.
Check your triggers.
Check your triggers. Talk. Communicate. It's all the boring answers. But it really is. And you know what? Communicate during the act as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Throughout.
and
yeah,
honesty.
Yeah, throughout, not just silence. And you know what is a real good rule to go by? If it's uncomfortable to talk about and you're all shy and embarrassed, that's exactly what you need to talk about.
Right. Or don't do it until you can talk about it.
Yeah. If you can't, but you know what? It's if you feel hinky, if something doesn't feel right, that's what you got to talk about. The hard stuff. Everybody can talk about that. Oh, yeah, I really like this and this and that. Mm-hmm. It's much harder to say to your partner, you know what? I really didn't like when you did that. It was like a cold shower to me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, your partner doesn't want to hear that when they think it was just great. But right. That's what you need to do.
Right.
And if during a play you encounter a trigger situation and you didn't know about, use a safe word. Even as a dominant, you could say, okay, this is a red. We're stopping because we have to talk.
Okay.
Because if you try to go further, you're just going to make more damage.
Wait and play another day.
Yep.
All right, so be aware of your triggers. Texter writes, this girl wants me to choke her, but tell her I'm not comfortable because I don't know how to do it safely. How can you learn this? Okay, bravo, first of all, for someone who's trying to figure out how to do something safely. Well, because what he doesn't want to do is freaking choke her and then kill her.
Great.
You know?
I don't know of a way to do it safely.
Okay.
I don't
so
personally.
So choking is something that is...
Is, I don't think it's a safe thing to do, a safe practice. I think that it can be really easy to hurt the other person.
Well, to get carried away.
Well, yes. To get carried away. And what some people don't realize is they'll think that it's only when the breath is completely blocked that there's a problem, when you're completely blocking the breathing. But what is just as dangerous or more dangerous is when the person's getting a bit of air and you don't realize how little air they're getting. Mm-hmm. You know, you're covering, you know, their mouth in one nostril and you think they're just fine and they're not because they're only getting a bit. And that's how they're, I mean, you can get brain damage and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the few things, a few plays that I would just say, I don't think it's a safe play.
Okay.
But that person want to do research about what
Bravo.
They want to do. I mean, that mm-hmm. we wish we could hear more about this.
I know. If people could do things safely. And
that's great. I mean,
and you know what? Maybe it's find out what it is about it that she likes. Maybe it's the idea of being dominated, and there's other plays that you could do that would still satisfy that need or urge that she has that are safer.
Right, like hair pulling.
Hair pulling or holding her hands down over
right.
her head.
Restricting her
or bondage. Or
right. Any asphyxiation play, I don't care if it's
dangerous.
Choking, if it's, you know, the autoerotic asphyxiation, all of that is so dangerous. And there are tons of stories of people
dying
because of this practice. So it's not something, I'm with Pierre and Catherine on this, you know, a little dangerous, but. Alternative sexuality tonight on the program. So we're talking about all things kinky. We'd love to hear your thoughts. 514-800 or 71010. I'm Dr. Lori, and you are listening to Passion, a show clearly all about sexuality.
This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, alternative sexuality. Still have a bit of time to get your questions or your comments in. 514-800 or 71010 if you'd like to call in. 1-800-491-2523. So this texter from Toronto writes, hello, I am straight and enjoy BDSM with women, but also with men. I find it they are better at certain things than women, and I enjoy the power exchange with them too. Am I gay?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But you're at least bi.
You just said you were straight, first of all. And who the hell would I be to tell you any different?
Yeah. It's how you identify.
You
but
know.
We also don't know if there's sexual stuff going on. Because BDSM isn't always about sex.
Yes, but you know what? Okay. For myself,
uh-huh.
I am bisexual in BDSM, but not outside of BDSM.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, okay. I wouldn't want just a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like ew.
Okay.
I wouldn't want that for myself. It just
so you don't no. but only in the world of BDSM you identify as bisexual, but not outside of it is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean I'm bisexual, but only if they're BDSM.
Okay. She likes to play with women.
But sure. Only, okay, so how does that not make you?
Well, yes, I guess so. But I guess it also depends on what you do with them.
Yes, right? Well, that's what I'm saying. So what does this guy do with the other guys?
Well, if he's not having
sex with them.
Intercourse or
sex.
Sex, I guess, or anal intercourse.
Well, no, you don't have to have that. It could be oral sex. It could be any
or sex,
touching.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But yes, sometimes it is. It's just the power exchange. And it is very, very different with men or women.
How different? Well,
of all, it's very different with, like for myself, if it's a very small woman, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I actually have physical size. Same as if it's a very large man, mm-hmm. right? Or a small. There is something different with there's a difference in dominating someone who is your own size or someone who is much.
Okay.
There's a mental thing to it.
Right.
And women and men take pain on average. I know I shouldn't be stereotyping, but very differently.
Okay. So there are, so it's what yeah, he's
I
saying, it makes tough. Sense,
yeah.
right, in the BDSM circle, mm-hmm. but it doesn't necessarily make him gay. But again, we have very limited information.
Yeah,
we don't know the kinds of activities that are involved in.
Well, yes, but he's saying he's straight, so I'm assuming he is. I think it's just
in the BDSM world, he can play with,
yeah,
with
lots
men
of
and women.
Straight doms that identify as straight will play or let's say flog another man or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
and they identify as straight too.
Absolutely. That's very common.
Okay. So there you go. That's there's your answer. So this texter writes is, and I think they're referring to the open relationships we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Is this a good lifestyle for society? So I don't want to speak for society. I just know a lot of people think, you know, somehow we're, I don't know, going
weird.
Down some path.
I have to say something. If you have consenting adults that are in a functioning, healthy relationship, and often an open relationship, if it's working, that's because they're working at it and they're communicating and they can be more functioning than your traditional families. So, and if you have a functioning family or a functioning unit, it's better for society. So, you know what? Sure, it's fine for society.
Okay. Listen, you know, part of it is not understanding. Like I hesitate to always to judge others for things that they choose if they're not hurting anyone. Like who are they? You know, you have to look at the
how many
what's
step
the
families
impact
do we have now? And step families and
50% of them,
you know, or gay fathers or things like this. But they're not always a traditional family or traditional. You know, society has evolved. Mm-hmm. And it's not the reality.
Some people
of
would tell you it's devolved.
Well, yeah, you know, it could be, but it's changing.
Right,
it's changing,
yes.
And you know what? It's not always, you know, a man and woman with 2.3 kids in a house.
Right.
Now,
right.
You know, so there's different things of a family and how it works. And I don't think it's bad for society.
And I, in having spoken to people who are in open relationships, you know, I ask them questions about how they deal with it in terms of their family life, their kids. Oftentimes, their kids have nothing to do with this. They don't even know about it. Or a third party they may be having a relationship with is, you know, the
Uncle Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Or the family friend or what have you. They don't involve their children in what they do in the bedroom.
It's their sex life.
And then there are others, I just want to say others, who are more open about it because they're in the public. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of one couple who's in the public eye. That's what their business is also, you know, is in the swinging community or what have you. Then their kids certainly know what they are doing, but they explain it to them that this is their chosen lifestyle, but it doesn't affect their kids. And the kids, they have no involvement in it.
No, they still have their own little core family unit.
Well, yes, they have their
you know,
family unit. It's not affecting them directly,
exactly.
And they protect their kids from just the information of what do you need to know what I do in the bedroom. I don't, you know,
it's
I don't
not
need
their
to
business.
Know.
Sex is an adult thing. It's not for kids,
yeah.
Period.
Tell
I mean,
all the kids who are engaging in sex
well,
that.
Yeah,
but
well,
yes, I agree
matter.
With you. I agree with you. So maybe we'll end on this, but I just saw the film Streeter or whatever you want to call it What do you call it? The trailer. Thank you.
The trailer for 50 Shades. You know, I was looking at the time and I thought we are going to get through this
without talking
about that movie. It hasn't come up.
We have 1 minute.
But okay.
It's the curse of the 50 Shades.
Yeah. You know what? Go see it. Have fun. Use your brains when you see it. It should be. We'll wait and see if it's a good movie.
We'll see the movie. I know the book. I read the books, of course. You know, how could I not? Everybody else was talking about it. Not that they were great books, but the first book was very much about the dominant submission relationship. But mm-hmm. the second and third books were much more about his psychological makeup, like how he became that way. In some ways. You don't remember that?
I would disagree with you on this because remember she wrote a fourth book about...
There were four books?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I don't even remember that. Okay.
Another one that is basically the Dom's view and it's all his, I don't know if I should have done that or I don't know or how should we act to this.
Oh, right. It's
this?
From and her perspective rather than
the last one from his perspective.
Oh, his perspective. So, okay. Yeah. Oh, yes, right. Because the other ones were
because
from
there's that kind of action and I don't want to give away the plot
people,
here.
Most people have read the book.
But
we'll see if it's the story is true
too. Go see it and make your own mind.
I think it's going to be a hit.
Well it's only a hit because the books were a hit. And
it's Valentine's.
And, I don't know how many guys are really into seeing it.
Well, the photography is beautiful.
Oh,
they have, you know,
it's not about the movie.
Oh,
it's
okay.
About going home after the movie.
Okay, we'll remember that. Pierre and Catherine will join us again the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you for being here. If people want to get in touch with them and ask whatever questions, they can do that outside of this show at bdsmcircle.com. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, and thank you for the amazing texts we got in tonight. Great questions. Thank you to our technical team in Montreal and in Toronto. If you want to connect with me, please stay in touch through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Lori Betito, DrLaurie, and my last name, BETITO. You can also go and through my website, drlaurie.com. We'll speak again tomorrow night. Right now, you've got The Comedy Show with Joey Elias. Have a great rest of the evening and remember to fill your life with passion.